podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So the Bible teaches us that we were once slaves to sin, but that through Jesus Christ, God has redeemed us. He has bought us, and indeed, He owns us, as the choir has sung this morning. Are you His? Are you really His? We're starting a series of messages this morning entitled, The Call. The Call. The question is, do you realize that you have been called by God? That if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have been called by God. Now, we're going to get into this later as we go through this series of messages, but the truth of the matter is that throughout the New Testament, we are told that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ, we are the called, those who have been called by God. So we need to figure out, what has He called us for? What is the call all about? And so this morning, we're going to begin by looking at a passage of Scripture beginning in Exodus chapter 3. And this is a little bit longer than our typical Scripture reading. It's going to be Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. We're going to read all the way to chapter 4, verse 20. It's one story, and I just couldn't break it up. I just couldn't split it up. And so sometimes the Word of God speaks for itself. So if this is going to be a large chunk of our message this morning, so be it. I think the story stands alone. So, Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses! Moses! And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, well, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you. I have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among that. And after that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when they leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Moses answered, What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf and mute? Who gives them sight, or who makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go! I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Jethro said, go, and I wish you well. Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Do you notice how the staff of Moses has now become the staff of God? Moses is 80 years old. He lives in the wilderness, far away from civilization. He tends livestock for his father-in-law. His life is quiet. He's anonymous. Not too much excitement, No nosy people poking around here in the wilderness. This is exactly the way that Moses likes it. He could live out the rest of his days like this. You see, Moses has a past, and he would just as soon leave it all in the past and forget about it. There was a time when he lived in a big city. There was a day when he was a big shot, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had a seat at the table in the most powerful palace in all of the world. But he always knew he wasn't one of them. He didn't belong. You see, his heritage, his people by heritage were the Israelites, slaves in Egypt. And he would never be able to deny that connection. It was obvious to all, his heritage, but he didn't belong to them either. So he is a man without a people, not really an Egyptian, not really a Hebrew, caught somewhere in between. He even named his firstborn son Gershom, which means stranger here. Oh, did I mention that Moses is a murderer too? That's right. He killed an Egyptian man who he caught beating a Hebrew slave. There's this problem with dual nationality rising up again, you see. He thought he got away with the murder. Nobody saw it. Nobody was there. No witnesses. But word spreads quickly in the slave camp. So Moses ran away. He fled Egypt. He left the place of his birth, his home. He left the palace. He left his people. And now he lives in the wilderness. 80 years old, a fugitive from Egypt. And he likes it that way. Nice and quiet. Very few visitors, no worries about his past catching up with him. He's tending his sheep on a day like any other. You know, in the wilderness, the days just seem to run together. But on this particular day, near Mount Horeb, Moses notices a plume of smoke. And he watches this plume of smoke as it rises from a bush that is burning. This isn't out of the ordinary. Bushes in the wilderness and in the desert can just suddenly catch fire. But there was something peculiar about this particular bush because it kept burning and burning and burning, and no matter how long Moses looked at it, it continued to burn. And so finally, his curiosity got the better of him, and he said, I'm going to go check this thing out, the bush that doesn't burn. Surely the fire will run out of fuel by now, but it doesn't. And so Moses approaches. And then he hears it. Someone is calling his name. Who knows me out here in the wilderness? Moses! Moses! Here I am, Moses says. Keep your distance, Moses. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. Moses must have thought to himself, what, this old sand? Holy ground? What's so special about this? But the voice continues, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses is no dummy. You see, Moses took Hebrew history in Pharaoh's school. Moses had heard the stories about the Hebrew slaves and all of the stories that they told about the old days around the campfire. And so he hid his face, scared to death. What does God want with me? What does God want with me, a fugitive, a man with a past? Well, God has a plan. And as the bush burns, he relates it to Moses. I've seen my people in Egypt. I know of their pain. I know that they've been mistreated. I've seen the injustice, and I am going to do something about it. I'm going to save them from Egypt. I'm going to bring them to a new land, a promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And you, Moses, you are my man. Now pack your bags for Egypt. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to set my people free. Something incredible happens in the wilderness. And that is this, that all-knowing God calls a man with secrets. All-knowing God calls a man with secrets. And as you might imagine, Moses has his questions. You would have your questions, wouldn't you? I would have questions, I know that. Who am I? Why me? I think you got the wrong number, God. I think you've got the wrong guy. I'm the last guy you want going back to Egypt. Certainly there's someone else you can use to do this job. And God says, you're not going by yourself. I will be with you. I will be with you. In fact, you see this mountain Horeb? When you lead my people out of Egypt, you're going to camp here, and you're going to have this huge worship time here. Mark my words, it will happen. And Moses has more questions. Let's say I go, not that I'm saying yes yet, okay? But let's say that I go, and when I tell them that you sent me, the God of their fathers, and they ask for your name, what am I supposed to say? I don't even know your name. Can I have a business card? Can you tell me who you are? And God says, I am that I am. Just tell them, I am sent you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tell them I am sent you. And so we learn something about the call. When you say, who am I? God says, I am. When you say, well, who am I? God says, I am. It isn't about Moses. It has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with God. Right? God says, I am. I am the one who has always been and will always be. I am the one who has a sovereign plan for all eternity. I am the one who will set my people free. I'm the one who created you. I know your past. I know your secrets. I know your insecurities. I know your capabilities. I know your heart. I am the all-knowing God. I am the one who will be with you every step of the way. I am the one who will convince my people. I am the one who will do the miracles. I am the one who will convince Pharaoh and defeat Egypt. I am the one who will receive the glory. Your job is to surrender and to follow the call. So when God calls, it's not about who you are, it's about who He is. See, that's not just in the Old Testament, see, either. When Jesus calls the church at the end of his time on earth, as he's with his disciples and he calls them to action, he says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So when God calls, it's not about who you are, it's about who he is. Back to Moses. He understands the plan. God's calling him to lead the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt, and not just to lead the people out, but also to plunder Egypt by taking all of their gold and silver right out from under their noses. And Moses has a grasp on the scope of this plan, and he's even starting to develop a better idea about who it is he's dealing with, but he's not done asking questions. Lord, excuse me, but what happens when I tell your people that I am sent me to rescue them from slavery, and they laugh at me? What happens when they refuse to believe me? What happens when they tell me that I'm out of my mind, that I haven't seen God, that I must have had a bad dream? What happens then? I'm not sure I would even believe myself. And then what happens when Pharaoh laughs at me? What happens when Pharaoh throws me out of his palace? What do I do then? This is where God steps in with a few signs, right? A staff that miraculously turns into a snake and back into a staff again. A hand that is pulled out of his vest and turns into a leprous hand and then comes back out again, whole and healthy. And the promise of a water-to-blood miracle if the people don't like the first two signs. There's more signs where these came from, Moses. God shows him. If you will take your tools and lay them down, I will use them. Just take your staff and drop it. I'll do the rest. You just have to be there. See, God knew that rod like Moses was not a special rod. God knew that he could take that rod and he could split the sea and people would walk across on dry land. God knew that you could strike a rock with this rod and water would be produced from it. That rod, though, like Moses, is just an everyday rod. But with Moses' obedience, the rod would no longer be the rod of Moses. It would become the rod of God. And God will use your resources to do the unimaginable when you lay down your resources to be used by Him. When you take the resources that God has given you so graciously, the gifts, the talents, the abilities, everything that He's given to you, when you take who you are and you lay it down before God, He will use it to do unimaginable things. You would think that with signs like these, Moses would be thoroughly convinced, right? Walk down the aisle, renew his passport, buy the tickets, jump right into action. It's time to go to Egypt. But no, there's more. There's more. If you focus on yourself and not God, there's always more. There are always more objections. There are always more excuses. You will not run out of questions when you focus on yourself and not God. So Moses says, Lord, I'm not a public speaker. I'm not comfortable doing that. I'm not the guy for a job like this. I've always had a slow tongue, God. Apparently Moses was selling himself short. So in this story, not only do we see that all-knowing God calls a man with secrets, we also see that powerful God calls a man without confidence. Powerful God calls a man without confidence. Moses says, look, God, I see what you're trying to do. I understand it really. But for me to get up and speak before Pharaoh is not a good idea. I can't do it. I can't do it, God. And the Lord calls him out on it. Where do you think you got your mouth anywhere, Moses? Anywhere, Moses? Don't you realize who you're speaking with? I created your mouth. I created your ears. I created your eyes. So don't worry about it. I've got this. I will give you the words. They will pop into your brain, the perfect words, the perfect sentences, and they will come forth from your mouth. I will speak through you. Just throw yourself down like that rod. I'll do the heavy lifting. And so we learn something else about the call. When you say, I can't, God says, I can. When you say, I can't, God says, I can. Listen to how the Apostle Paul says it to Christians who are called by God. He says, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. We're all called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? He chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate, a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. So what does the Apostle Paul say? I mean, if you were a part of the church at Corinth, you might be a little bit disturbed by this, right? Are you making fun of us, Paul? He looks at his audience and he says, look, I don't see any big shots here. You know, y'all aren't the smartest, sharpest tools in the shed, right? These are just like, you're just average people, you know, with problems nonetheless. You struggle in this life, and you're weak, and you're broken, and you're not all that really, you see, Paul is saying. I see, church, that you just aren't the powerful people of this world. But then he says, God has you right where He wants you, because these are the type of people that He calls and that He uses. You've probably heard the saying, God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. It's okay to lack confidence. But when God calls, we need to trust Him to use us. When you say, I can't, God says, I can. You see, Moses was very comfortable in the wilderness. The last thing he was looking for at this stage in his life was an adventure. Can you relate to that, some of you? That was the last thing he was looking for in his life, was an adventure. So he came up with an excuse. In the book of Acts, during a sermon, Stephen says that Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. This is what Stephen says about Moses. So which is it? Is he the star of the Egyptian debate team, or is he a stammering deer caught in the headlights? Which is it? Which is Moses? I believe it's somewhere in between. Apparently, Moses was not as bad a speaker as he thought. He was using an excuse. He was using this as an excuse. Now, how do I know that? Because of what happens next in the story. Moses levels with the Lord, finally, in verse 13 of chapter 4. Exodus 4:13, Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Oh, Master, please send somebody else. Here am I, Lord. Send anybody else but me." And the truth comes out. It's not just that Moses is a man with a past who's hiding in the wilderness. It's not just that Moses is worried that the people aren't going to accept him or believe him. It's not just that Moses doubts his own skill and lacks confidence. It's that Moses has no desire to obey the will of God. So in this story, not only do we see that all-knowing God calls a man with secrets, and all-powerful God calls a man without confidence, we also see that purposeful God calls a man without desire. God has a plan. It's a huge plan, right? It's a great plan. Moses has no plans. No plans at all. Surprisingly, God calls Moses to accomplish his plan. You see, when you say, "I won't," God says, "I will." God would not take no for an answer. It's pretty obvious here. He made an adjustment. He allowed brother Aaron to be the mouthpiece. But Moses was the one he called to lead his people, and Moses was going to be the one that would lead his people. And in the end, as the word bears out, Moses responds to the call, finally dragging his feet, even lying to Jethro by saying, "Look, I'm just going to go check and see if my people are still alive." Not saying anything about a burning bush and a God who said, "I'm going to bring my people, Israel, back to this wilderness." Moses responds to the call, and God uses him to rescue his people from Egypt. Moses is simply the tool in God's hand. It's not about Moses, it's about God. And in God uses reluctant, humble people like Moses. And in doing so, he gets all the glory. Maybe you have a secret. Maybe you have a past. Maybe you have stuff that you'd just like to keep hidden. Maybe you're hiding. God can use you still. Maybe you lack confidence. You don't think you have the stuff that it takes to do God's work. God can still use you. Maybe you have no desire whatsoever to obey God's call. You've heard it, but you just can't get up the gumption. I've got news for you. God has called you, and He will use you. Because surprisingly, God uses people with secrets, no confidence, and no desire to fulfill His plan for His glory. This is the way that God works. Not just here in the book of Exodus, but I think you'll see it throughout the entire Bible. From cover to cover. These are the type of people that God uses to fulfill His plan and His purpose in this world. People with a past, people who lack confidence and are insecure, people who have no desire in the first place to follow Him. These are the type of people that He calls into His service. The same God of this story is still at work in this world. He's not done yet. He still has a plan He's working on. Yahweh, the great I Am, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. We know Him as the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. He has a plan, a sovereign plan for how things are going to work out. He is still at work doing the same thing that he did during the days of Moses. He is rescuing people who are enslaved to sin. He's continuing that work. He's not done yet. Wherever he sees injustice, wherever he sees brokenness, people being used and abused, his heart cries out and he calls his people to step into the gap and to join him in the mission of saving the world. But in our day, he doesn't use an old wooden rod. He uses an old rugged cross. And he uses you, and he uses me. Even when we say, God, who am I? Who am I? Even when we say, I can't, or I won't. You may think that God chooses the powerful, the strong, the gifted, the confident, the ambitious, and the motivated to do his will, right? You may think that those are the people that get to work for God. Truth is, it seems he would rather work with the broken, the flawed, and the least likely. That way he gets the glory. That way he doesn't have to share his glory. Will you surrender to his call? Will you listen for his call? Respond to his voice. Don't wait until you're ready. Just trust him, because he is always ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, for the encouragement that it brings to us. Because we know, Lord, that we are not worthy to do your will and your work in your way. Lord, we recognize that we, like Moses, are people who have a lot to hide. We, like Moses, Lord, we have insecurities and we lack confidence. And Father, we just don't know the first step to take in doing what you've called us to do. But, oh Lord, thank you that your word proves out time and time again that people like us are exactly the type of people that you use. So make us available. Like the rod of Moses, may we be thrown to the ground so that we may become your people, your possession, those who have been called by you, and may we do what you have called us to do and be who you have called us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.